ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। This Vedantic study is all about studying the individual and the world, because life is nothing but individual contacting the world. So one should understand the individual, one should understand the world, and then relate. When we relate that way, then we'll be able to relate better. And the deeper we understand about ourselves and the world, we start realizing the oneness between them. So all the differences and everything starts dissolving. So as we start realizing the oneness, we start developing more and more objectivity intellectually, and kindness and compassion emotionally, and service-oriented physically. You know, it becomes more of a giver than taker. This way what happens is our life starts becoming more and more qualitative. And not only our life starts becoming more qualitative, people around us, their life also starts becoming more qualitative. And we have come deeper into our personality because we realize the oneness. So that's why he discussed about the individual mechanism. So the individual is made up of the body, mind, intellect, and then atma, the enlivening principle. And then the individual goes through three transactions of life, receipt, reaction, response. So take care of the receipt, take care of the reaction and response. And then you contact the world, so you need to understand the nature of the world. Instead of trying to, understanding that the nature is to constantly change. Change or perish, that is the law. Everything in this universe is in a constant flux of change. The only thing that is certain is uncertainty. Right? Friends become foes. Foes become friends. India, America, they are not friends. Right? When we were all going through, India and Russia were friends. India and America were not friends. So when there is Olympics in Russia, India will go, America will not come. West Germany will not come. East Germany will come. Right? If there is Olympics in America, India will not go. Or Pakistan will go. You know, all these things now. But now, things are changing. So, life is certainly uncertain. So to expect things to happen according to our wish all the time is the height of stupidity. So therefore we need to understand and adapt and change. So then he said, human beings should get educated. Animals get trained. And animals don't have intellect. Or they have a very rudimentary intellect. With rudimentary intellect, they can't choose beyond a point. There's basic things they can choose between, they know between this and that, you know, what is to eat and what is not to be edible. There are some basic discrimination. But they do not have the discrimination capacity like human beings have, especially subtle intellect they don't have. Subtle intellect is, what is the difference between subtle intellect and gross intellect?
Gross intellect is not thought about. It's impulsive.
No, no. Mind is impulsive. Gross intellect is the discrimination within the realm of the world. Subtle intellect is discrimination between world and divinity. Terrestrial and transcendental. Within the realm of the world, when you discriminate, it is all gross intellect. Right? The moment you discriminate between the world and God. Now see, no animal asks a question. A human being understands this whole universe is governed by various laws. Some of the laws you may not know. But the laws are still there. Certain laws have been discovered, certain laws are not discovered. Maybe in future they will discover certain, maybe some they will never be able to discover. But the whole universe is governed by laws. Now, animals also understand certain things, you know. If I do this, this pain comes, maybe from the past experience, whatever. But they don't understand that this all is governed by laws. And if it is all governed by laws, there must be somebody who is governing them also. Whom we call Ishvara. Such a thing animal is not thinking. If the laws are functioning, when you go on the road, and the traffic is very disciplined, you know, now what has happened in almost every city, even in Tirupati they say, you know, that people are getting salaams because the cameras are clicking. You know, if you happen to cross that line while you are waiting for the signal, your car is clicked or bike is clicked and you are getting the salaam. So everybody is beautifully parking within, you know, before the line. Which means what? The system is working. Policemen are there. System is working. Law is functioning. So similarly, the laws are all functioning. There must be somebody governing the law. Who it is? This question only human being asks. Therefore, only human being has such intellect. Because now the information is between the world and beyond. No animal asks this. Animals can be trained to do puja in the circus. Like an elephant is trained. And in the circus, the elephant will go and do puja. You understand? It will show arti, it will ring the bell, it will even distribute prasadam. But it is not, the elephant is not really understanding that there is God beyond all this and then doing all this, right? Such a question doesn't come in the elephant. So animals don't have what is called as subtle intellect. As human beings have what is called as subtle intellect. So, human beings have better potential of intellect compared to animals. Animals have only very rudimentary intellect. And animals definitely don't have subtle intellect, whereas human beings have subtle intellect. So human beings have to constantly learn, educate, rehabilitate, adapt and continue. Things are constantly changing. Now AI has come. Right? Slowly, slowly, this kind of class will be redundant. You should understand that and you should keep to the technology and move on. Now, because of Corona, we have to move on to technology. Thanks to technology. And if supposing we said, no, we are not going to move to technology, we could have not had class for so many years. So you've got to adapt. So human beings have to learn and adapt. Human beings are governed by both heredity and adaptation. Well, animals are primarily governed by heredity. A small pup, as soon as the pup is born, will walk up to the mother and drink the milk. But that's not the case with human animal, human being, human baby. You understand? If the mother doesn't feed the baby will die. You understand? But the potential of the pup is more than small child from that angle. But as the child grows, you understand, far superior capabilities. But the child has to keep on improving, keep on improving, keep on improving. Every minute, every second, we need to build our buddhi. In fact, one quotation, I'm not getting the quotation correctly, says, from the cradle till the tomb, you got to continue developing your buddhi. And adapt. You know, learn, unlearn, relearn, recast your thinking, adapt. Again continue, again continue. So that's what he said in this. Once you understand the nature, then you understand that there is no such thing as perfection externally. There is no such thing as perfection externally. That's why I gave an example of Akbar and Birbal in the class. Akbar drew a line and told Birbal, please make it short without touching it. He just drew another line which is bigger than that. And the line became short. So, what you think is perfect, from a higher level it is not perfect at all. Isn't it? So you, and when you grow to a higher level, you understand that this is not perfect. You want to strive for better perfection externally. But internally, you can reach perfection by getting rid of all the wrongness. So that's why he says, you should find peace and harmony by changing yourself rather than trying to change the world. Try to change whatever you can. See, when you talk about the world, there are things which are under your control at any given point in time. There are things which are not under your control. You should have the clarity as to what is under your control, what is not under your control. So now, for example, what you ask, what you could have done few years ago is not under your control now. Right? Why you sit and worry about it? But what you can do now is under your control. And you should know the difference. This wisdom you should have. Right? The second prayer says, no? Oh God, give me what?
Give me the courage.
Give me the courage to accept the things that I cannot change. Give me the will. I think it's will, right? Give me the will or strength to change the things that I can change. And give me the wisdom to know the difference between the two. So once you understand this, then you will not have any problem. Peacefully, you'll keep on changing the world as much as you can, but not at the cost of changing yourself. But not at the cost of changing oneself. And then you change, you find the world change. Same situation, same setup doesn't upset you anymore. That doesn't mean don't change the setup. Try changing whatever you can. But before that, you should develop the strength in such a way that the setup doesn't upset you. With developing, having developed that capacity, go about changing. Then it will be tamasha. And I just want to have fun.
No, but if you change your view of the situation, why do you have to change the situation?
See, when the inside is strong, you are able to take the cold weather. Okay. But if you can afford to have a heater, have it, why not? You understand? Keep changing the world, nothing wrong. When there is not changing, don't change the world. When there is potential, you can improve upon it, please do. But you should not allow it to disturb you. That is happening because you have not developed the inner strength. See, all of us not understanding that we need to develop the mind and intellect and of course the physical body. Rarity, but all give importance only to the physical body. How many of us are giving importance to the mind and intellect? So that's what he says. So therefore he says, world is a projection of your thoughts. If your mind is good, world is good. If your mind is bad, world is bad. So change yourself. See it differently. See, Arjuna had egoistic attitude. Sri Krishna said, change the egoistic attitude. Be forgiving towards their behavior. But since the behavior is bad for the total, as a Kshatriya you need to do the action. Which happens to be fight and kill, then do that. And in the battle, supposing you couldn't conquer them and you get conquered by them, theek hai, chalega. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's how one should live this. Next, course of life.
Thank you.
Yeah, please.
Course of life. The characteristic feature of life is energy, motion. A living being grows, moves on, executes action. A dead creature cannot manifest any form of energy. Action, therefore, is the insignia of life.
So first of all of us are nothing but a bundle of energy. Right? So he says the characteristic feature of life is energy, motion. If there is no, as soon as the child is born, if you don't see any movement in the child, if the child is not crying also, people become worried. And what is that? I have to do something to make the child cry. Right? Move. So movement is the insignia of life. Action is the insignia of life. So it is really being gross, moves about, executes action. A dead creature cannot manifest any form of energy. Action therefore is the insignia of life. Therefore you cannot think of retired, sitting and enjoying. Inaction is death. Action is the insignia of life.
The law of evolution impels all living beings to keep acting. A living creature which stops activity will perish. Evolution is marked by constant striving and struggling in life. Where there is no effect and exertion, there is degeneration and death.
So when we understand this, then we will not be against action. We will joyfully act. You understand? So all he is saying is, evolution is marked by constant striving and struggling. In fact, when you understand this, it won't be striving or struggling thereafter. See, the moment you understand this statement, though he is using the English word striving and struggling, when you begin to understand this, it won't be striving or struggling. It will be natural to you. So just casually go on, move on. So he says, there is no effort and exertion, there is degradation and death. So you cannot afford to stop your efforts. You've got to continue putting in effort. In fact, he is going to talk about it in detail in the chapter 5, Exigencies of Action. But then, in chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, which is Karma Yoga, he says, one cannot remain without action even for a moment. One cannot remain without action even for a moment. Kaagyate Sarasak Karma Sarva Prakriti Jayir Gunehi. Everybody will be forced to act according to their vasanas. As soon as you wake up, according to your vasanas. If you are somebody who likes yoga, do yoga. If you are somebody who does aerobics, do aerobics. If you are somebody who does swimming, you go and do swimming. If you are somebody who is doing something else, you do that. Because of your vasana. So then everybody is forced to act according to their vasana. So you cannot afford to remain without action. Continue.
A human being must progress, not remain static. For example, a child playing with toys is acceptable, but an adult doing the same is detestable. Again, a young man indulging in passion is understandable, but an old man doing the same is despicable. You will have to move with time. Time marches on. If you do not keep pace, you devolve. You will destroy yourself. The same is not applicable to an animal. Animals inherit a distinct nature. Their pattern of activity is set. They do not change the time or place. They lack the intelligence to do so. But a human possesses an intellect to distinguish between right and wrong, good and bad, etc., and choose his way of life. Progress is spelled by right effort and exertion. Scientific discoveries and inventions are a mark of progress. A society which does not progress along with time will be ruined. This is a universal law. Many great empires which had relaxed their efforts became lethargic, met their own destruction. History has proved this time and again.
So all he is trying to say is one of the most essential aspects of life is growth. So I always say in my classes that most important characteristics of life are three. Action, growth, awareness. If there is no awareness, then you are not alive. And if you are not growing, then you are not living. Right? And if there is no action, there is no life. So action, growth, awareness has to be there. Now, we are talking about growth. Time doesn't wait for you. You got to work in time and keep evolving. In the case of animals, you don't expect the animal to become very unselfish or understanding, or that you don't. But some of the dogs are like that. Tigers will be like this. They will continue to be like that. Because in their case, it is all governed by nature. But in the case of the human being, you have the potential to grow. You could have been selfish before. Now you have the capacity to let go, not become revengeful. But if you continue remaining the same, that means what? They are not growing at all. They are not only talking about physical growth. See, this you understand, no? That is the physical growth. Up to certain age, everybody grows physically. And to expect a person who was at a particular height when they were 10 years old to be little taller when they are 15. Right? But if you see them same height, then you will be worried. Understand? Okay, at least at the physical level, things stop. After that, you don't grow. To a point, you grow. After that, you grow. But mentally, sky is the limit. Sky is the limit. You can move from being an extremely taking person to an extremely giving person. Is it possible or not? You understand? You can move. That is why we get into Grihastha-ashrama. Grihastha-ashrama is to make you mature. You start learning to sacrifice for your husband, for your wife, for your children, for your grandchildren. You understand? To make you become better person. So that is what he is saying here. If you do not grow, right? If you don't grow, if you don't progress, then there is nothing seriously wrong. That's why he says it's universal law. A society which does not progress along with time will be ruined. If you don't mentally mature, if you don't intellectually evolve, if you don't spiritually evolve, then you are ruining yourself. You are throwing away this opportunity of being born as a human being. See, in the Tattva Bodha, you didn't study Tattva Bodha here?
No.
No? Oh, okay. See, in Tattva Bodha, he beautifully explains, he says, whatever body we are getting is according to our karma. Right? To get human birth, we need to have done some good punya. And to get body which has no handicap, which has done some punya. And to be born in certain families, right, which is bad, which has got values, so done some punya. You should have done some punya to be born in a family which has value and wealth. What do you think? Now all these are abilities. The sense what? If somebody is starting the race at point zero, the other starts the race at point 30. But that doesn't mean you win. If you don't win the effort. You know the story of tortoise and hare. Right, every now and then happily the hare is resting. But the tortoise continued moving. Finally the tortoise won the race. So therefore, karma decides your advantage and disadvantage. But not your will. Why should you lose the will? Why should you focus on that? Teach that. Because of certain things, so many people. Sometimes when I see that there is a book also by the name My Foot, no? One person has no hands. With the feet, she has drawn so many pictures. Brilliantly. With the hands, you are not able to draw straight line with the help of a scale. So what people can achieve if you can put your circumstances aside? But we keep on going, but I don't know why I'm going, why I'm going, why I'm going, why I'm not going, why I'm not. So you don't understand. That's why he's saying, you've got to progress. And that's why he says, a society which does not progress, along with time, will be ruined. This is universal law. Take care, you are a small child, you played with toys. All of you, all of us, including me, played with toys. Now, supposing you come to the class with a teddy bear. You understand? What happened, Sanjay? You understand, right? Why are you coming with a teddy bear? Okay, you brought your granddaughter, she has a teddy bear which you are carrying for some time. But you yourself come with a teddy bear. It actually happened in the academy. When I studied, when I joined in 1992, the ashram. And one girl came from South Africa after 1 year. After I joined, 93 May, she joined the academy. She's still in the academy. Very nice girl. 1993 she came. She brought a small teddy bear. So we see her family, she is coming all the way from South Africa. And India she has never been before. She was missing her family and all that. So she was very emotional. She was carrying a teddy bear. So we used to tease her, you know, that time. And of course, over a period of time she got over all that, and now so many years she's been in the academy only. She's not, she goes and comes to South Africa, but she's here only. So you expect the person to grow out of the Talmud. Right? You don't expect the person to continue with the Talmud. So when you understand all that, why should you stop yourself from going to the fullest potential? That's what he's saying. So therefore, there are many great empires which had lacked their efforts became lethargic with their own destruction. You cannot afford to stagnate. Remember this, the biggest sin is stagnation. Stagnation is sin. Right? You should continue to grow. But you are going on finding some reason or the other and excusing yourself from growing. Continue.
True progress and evolution is directed towards one goal alone. The course of life leads to that supreme goal, which is everlasting peace and bliss. Living beings seek pleasure, joy, happiness all their lifetime. Some seek through material and physical means, others through emotions, yet others through knowledge. For instance, a man desires wealth. Analyze his desire. What is he really seeking? What is it he really seeks? He wants wealth only to gain comfort, pleasure, happiness. So is it with emotion and knowledge. Everything you seek in the world boils down to happiness. You believe happiness resides in the world at large. You look for it everywhere. Extroverted pursuits have never succeeded in finding happiness. For happiness lies within your own person. You must therefore direct your efforts towards your own self to find it. There is no other way.
So he's saying, you should never stop till you reach the highest. Keep on working, marching on, improving yourself. Don't think that you have achieved. Continue moving. That's why we say, what is important is not the destination. What is important is the journey. So you continue putting in your efforts, become a better person, then sustain. Continue working upon yourself. So you say, everybody is endlessly working for pleasure only. And what do? They go up to the material world. Very few think. So he's asking you to think. Don't continue the same way. Theek hai, up to certain times you did that understandable. But you got to question and move on. See, world is all to this height because world question. People question, is it possible to go the other side or not of the ocean? So they somehow made the ship. And then, is it possible to fly like the birds or not? If I have to fly like the birds, then what are the laws that I need to take care of? How I can use the equipment and things like that to do that? So because of that, now you have tremendous activity, productivity, progress, everything. So therefore, please understand this. If you want progress, there is one thing very, very important. What is that? Question. But don't question your own progress. So he's saying, everybody is clamoring after pleasure, joy, happiness. Because that's what you want now. End of the day, what do you want? Happiness. And what do? You see everybody running after the material things, you also run. So that is what he says. Somebody is trying through material, somebody is trying through emotion, somebody through knowledge. After this book, one book. That book, this book, I keep on gaining more and more information. So therefore, he says everybody is searching for happiness. Everything you seek in this world boils down to happiness. That's all, nothing else. So you believe happiness resides in the world at large. You believe. Therefore you run. Instead of questioning, see, if I want to attend a class, I ask, where is the class held? There is no such address. Then I come there. Otherwise, I'll be roaming around in Delhi, maybe somewhere in North Delhi. This is what we are doing. So he says, you look for it every day. You look for happiness every day. Extroverted pursuits have never succeeded in finding happiness. You'll never find happiness through extrovertedly running. For happiness lies within your own person. You must therefore direct your efforts towards your own self to find it. So in other words, what he's saying is, at least after some time, after having given a thought, you should start directing your efforts inward. At some point in time, in other words, you cannot continue to be a brahmachari all the time. Brahmachari means student. From that you move to either rasta or vanaprasthanyas. If you are a evolved person like Abhishandra, directly from student life you move to sannyas. Otherwise, you go through stages of rasta and vanaprastha. Right? So, you can't continue to be in the rasta ashrama all the time. Certain things, when the youngsters do, you understand, okay. But when you see the same thing old fellow to be, you will laugh, what is that? He is not progressive. So that is what he is saying. As we start becoming more and more aged, we should have understood life and turned our mind inward. But if you are still craving for more and more material stuff, still craving for more and more emotional stuff, you are still craving for more and more information, that means you have not understood life, you are not progressing, somewhere you are stuck. Somewhere you are stuck. Continue.
But the problem is that the world attracts you with its instant pleasures. When your senses contact the external pleasures, you enjoy them forthwith. You do not realize that the pleasures arising out of sense contacts are fleeting. They diminish and gradually yield to sorrow. Conversely, you find that true happiness has a distasteful beginning. When you try to seek happiness within yourself, it is bitter to start with. But with determined effort, you gain more and more happiness. It is strange but true. Sorrow appears in the mask of joy and joy appears in the mask of sorrow. It is the law of nature. Consequently, the ignorant masses discard happiness and court sorrow. This has been the sad history of humans. The Bhagavad Gita cautions you of this paradox in nature. Its 18th chapter states, true happiness is like prison in the beginning. True happiness is like poison in the beginning, but nectar in the end. Verse 37. False happiness is like nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. Verse 38.
See, what he is saying is, why is it that people get stuck with the world? He says the world gives instant joy. You know? As soon as you get there, it gives you instant joy. Instant pleasure. Whereas, the true happiness is poisonous in the beginning. In the end, it is nectar. This is given in the 18th chapter of the Gita, verse 37, 38. That's what he's talking about. Agre vishamiva pariname sukham. Amrtam. Agre vishamiva means it is in the beginning like poison. Pariname amrtam. Which one is it? True happiness. Which comes through tapas and self-control. For example, in the book Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck, he uses a particular terminology called delayed gratification. All these are different terms used for meant for certain things only. Like tapas, for example. What is tapas? Willingly, consciously, we deny certain things for us. For what purpose? To build resilience. Right? Now she goes for trekking. Now when you go for trekking, you don't know what you will get, what you will not get. You have to survive the basic, isn't it? So you train for that here itself, no? You don't go there and think you will train. You will not be able to survive. So, it is only possible if you have a stronger mind, stronger willpower. Otherwise, not possible. Correct? And Tendulkar, see why Tendulkar achieved whatever he achieved, not just because of his cricket talent. A fellow, when he first was playing against Pakistan, he was only like 16 or something. And he was facing the likes of Asim Akram and Makar Yunus, high speed bowlers, you understand. And one of the balls hit him on his face. I think he had some injury on his face or nose somewhere. He was bleeding. On the other end, now just think Sidhu was playing, who is in the public now. He is an elderly guy at that time, around 30 years old, senior player. So he went up to Tendulkar and he said, my God, and then immediately the others came and they, you know, did everything that has to be done for sale. So Sidhu thought Tendulkar will now go back because he is injured. And Sidhu talks about this in his motivational talks. He says, Tendulkar's voice is very childish voice, even now, but that time it was even more. So, he said these things, I came on now. Meanwhile, I am not going back. Just because this ball has bounced and hit me, I am not affected mentally. I am not going back. See, that is what made him become Tendulkar now. You understand? So, unless and until you practice that delayed gratification. Right? In fact, they say, they do a lot of experiments in psychology also. They say that children who are able to practice this delayed gratification succeed in life later on. But children who indulge, they are thrown at the capacity to succeed. In short, what he is saying is, if you pamper your children, whatever they have to be refused. Otherwise, what they are doing is they are rolling down, they are kicking their legs and they are crying. So what do? You are not able to deal with it, so you do. So what you have done is, you make their mental capacity very less. And their expectation is very high. Whereas the other children, they develop the ability to not have it, though they want it. So they build that inner strength. Are you with me? That is why one of the most important things when we bring up children is not to pamper. Not only children, even in relationships, we cannot pamper each other. In the beginning it may be poisonous, but slowly it will become nectarine. So the happiness that you start getting through self-control will slowly emerge. In the beginning it is difficult. But the happiness that comes through sense contact. Right? That is what he says. Agre amartamiga. Pariname visham. In the beginning it is nectarine. As soon as you want it, you get it. Super. But what has happened as a result is your mind is now developing more and more desires, demands. It's not having the strength to get the answer no. See, that's why you wonder sometimes. You find it, no? Children on the roadside, when they are doing the 12th standard, supposing in a very ordinary family, when they are doing 12th standard, if the father gives them an ordinary smartphone as a gift, they are so excited. But other children, now iPhone 15 has come, something like that has come. Okay? So now, let's say they are having 14, iPhone 15 comes and they want to change it. Maybe they bought iPhone 14 only few months before, but nothing wrong with the phone. They want to change it because 15 has come. And the parents are saying, hey, 1 month, 8 crore. They become so agitated. They can't take it. They find my life is like this. They become depressed. People go through depression. Because what is happening there? It's not the fault of the children, it's the fault of the parents. The way they have brought them out. So, happiness is not outside, that's what he's trying to explain. The happiness that you get from outside has a, what?
Temporary
nature. Right? It stays for a while, then it goes away. Either the object changes, or your mind changes, or both changes. Right? But the happiness that comes from within is permanent. That is why he says you should grow to be able to draw that happiness. You should grow to the level where you start drawing that happiness. Are you with me? So, as a human being, you are grown up when you are not dependent on anything. Initially, you depend on something for your happiness. Right? Now you don't depend on anything for your happiness. You identify with yourself and you are happy with yourself. Then you are really grown up to a great height. So that is what he is taking us towards. Then we talk about the goal of life. So what he is trying to tell is, everybody is searching for happiness. But some are searching for the material level, some at the emotional level, some at the intellectual level. Hardly anybody is searching for it within. Now you should grow to the height where you will search for it within and you will achieve it also. That is the human goal, the goal of life. Not all these accomplishments. Continue.
Goal of life. The true course of life leads to happiness. The terminus of life is infinite happiness. You can never rest content until you reach that state of infinite bliss. Bliss lies in your inner self. You must delve deep into your personality layers and discover the self within. Even as you progress on the path of self-realization, you gain commensurate freedom, peace and happiness. It is the truth. Let the world know the secret of right living, and people evolve by instilling this truth in their life.
See, what he is saying is, the course of life should lead you to that true happiness. Till then you don't stop. Till you achieve the self, you don't stop. So he says, the terminus of life is infinite happiness. That's the ultimate goal. In fact, till you get that infinite happiness, you will not rest content. You will not keep quiet. You are not going to say enough is enough. I've got enough. Will you say that? No. There's a very funny story. One fellow was in milk business. He had a lot of cows at home. So milk the cows and distribute the milk and lived his life. He wanted more wealth and everything. So he prayed to God. He was praying to God for so many years. And after some time, after a few years, God appeared in front of him and said, okay, what do you want? He said, God, I want ocean of milk. That's all I want. I want ocean of milk. God said, okay, that's after. You'll get ocean of milk. And God said it. And after that, he realized that I forgot to ask one more thing. So he quickly runs up to God and says, God, please, please, wait, wait, wait. I wanted to ask you one more answer. What is it? Also give me ocean of water. So I can mix and sell. So, you will never be contented. You understand? How much help you get, you will never be contented. But contentment cannot come from external advertisement. External things are needed, that is going to explain later on, but in this portion itself. But what he is trying to say is, he is not saying that external things are not needed. They are only needed for your survival. But for life, what you need is to move internal. So therefore he says, you can never rest content until you reach the state of infinite bliss. Till then you will not keep that. Somebody asked Bhagavad Gita, why are people so avaricious? Why are people so avaricious? Then Bhagavad Gita said, why will they not be? I am asking you, why are people so appreciative? And you are saying, why will they not be? I don't understand. He said, see, their essential nature is infinite. So till they reach infinite, they will not think quiet. You understand? Till you reach the infinite, you will not think quiet. You cannot reach the infinite by adding more and more. How much of you add? Will it become infinite? No. Little more. You'll never be satisfied. So therefore he says, you will never rest until you reach the infinite bliss. Therefore it becomes important to know where that resides. So he says, bliss lies in your inner self. Bliss lies in your inner self. How do you understand this? Now see, he did discuss here that people go out to the material world, they contact, they get some joy. Now you don't do the questioning here. If you do the questioning, you'll understand. Now, do you get joy if I give you a cigarette? You won't, because you don't have desire for cigarette. But if I give you sweet, maybe you'll get joy, because you have desire for sweet. If there is joy in the cigarette, it should bring joy to everybody. There may be another person, they don't like sweets. You give them sweets, they won't get joy from sweet. Are you with me? So if it is in the object, it should bring joy to everybody. Number one point. Number two point, if it is the object, it should bring to you every time you contact it. Now mango season will come after a few months, right? First mango gives you some X amount of joy. It's not the same joy that you get in the second, third, fourth, fifth. Nth mango doesn't give you joy. It gives you neutralization. You get neutralized. Number two part. So happiness, if it is there in the object, it should bring happiness to everybody who contacts it. If it is the object, and should bring joy to you every time you contact. Same amount, not reduce. Number two. Number three. To be able to enjoy the object, the condition should be that you have the desire for the object. Okay. Now for example, that's why if you don't have desire for cigarette, you will not enjoy it. Get it? So what is happening is, your mind is now calm, peaceful, happy. In that mind, now I throw the thought of sweet. Unnecessarily this fellow threw the thought of sweet. You understand? Now what has happened? Your mind is triggered. Sweet. Sweet. Sweet, 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 sweet. This is desire. This is desire. So, in the mind, which is at rest, only the self is reflecting. In a glass and pool of water, when you see there, your reflection is seen very clearly. But if I throw stones, that is ripples. If I continuously throw stones, that's too much ripples. Like in jacuzzi. You see calm? Very calm, clearly you can see yourself. You switch off the jacuzzi, can't see. Similarly, in the mind, that is at rest, the self is beautifully reflecting, you are in the state of joy, happiness, bliss. Now in that mind, desire for an object comes. Whatever it may be, cigarette, alcohol, sweet, going to comes. Now, when the desire comes, what is it? It agitates. Desire is nothing but potential agitation. Now once you are agitated, if you are having desire to have sweet, if I come and give you cigarette, will you get happiness? You will get happiness only if I give you sweet. So when you contact sweet, the sweet touches your tongue, you think the joy is coming from sweet. Just carefully note what is happening. Is it coming from sweet? Where is it coming from? The sweet is only removing the desire temporarily. Get it? Desire for sweet you have. You give the object sweet. The object sweet is given to the tongue. The desire for sweet is temporarily removed. The mind again temporarily comes to rest. Then the self is reflecting, you're experiencing joy, but you are attributing it to sweet. This is what is happening. So thinking, oh, it's coming from there. Start running for sweet more and more and more and more. Are you getting it? So therefore, it is the bliss lies within, not without. If you understand this, then you would want to seek that. Therefore, it is, you must delve deep into your personality layer and discover the self within. even as you progress on the path. Now what he is saying here, the next line, even as you progress on the path of self-realization, you gain commensurate freedom, peace and happiness. In other words, okay, the bliss is within. So that means till I reach the self, I won't be happy. No, he says, to the extent you have gone inward, to that extent you will be happy, free. Why? Dependence would have reduced, no? See, I don't know when we started this class, somewhere around 10 or 11 we started, 2000.
Yeah.
Right? So now almost 13, 14 years. We've all been traveling with the Shantra for minimum 12 years. One Swami says, if you've been traveling with Shantra and Guru for a while, one thing that will definitely happen is FIR. What is FIR? Frequency of your thoughts and desires will reduce. Intensity of your thoughts and desires will reduce. And your recovery period will be quick. Frequency of agitation, anger, jealousy reduce. Intensity will reduce. Your recovery period will be faster. Isn't that happening now? Okay, temporarily you may be agitated, but what am I studying? What am I doing? Quickly you rebound, no? You understand? So, that's what he's saying. As you start understanding this itself, that clarity itself gives a lot of peace and freedom. Freedom means that dependence reduces. It's not a condition anymore. Hai to theek hai. Nahi to koi farak nahi padta. You understand? So that freedom you start experiencing. See, the example we give for this is, now we are in winter, slowly summer will come. Around this time, summer, 12 o'clock, you will find the sun fully come out, lighting the whole Delhi with so much light. But early in the morning, around 5:30 itself, during summer, sun is just a little bit come out, very little. But you can switch off all your lights, street lights and everything and walk. Isn't it? You don't need the sun to come out brightly, fully. Just even little bit is enough. Even little knowledge, little turning inward is enough to gain that freedom. Thoda sa, if you practice this knowledge is enough. I understood, okay, think. I will get more freedom, I will get more peace, I will be more blissful and happy. That is what he is saying. Your life will commensurate with freedom, peace and happiness. It is the truth that the world knows the secret of right living. So what is the secret of right living? Secret of right living is not running after the world. Secret of right living is pulling yourself towards the self within. Understand? Pull yourself towards the self within. See, in Mundaka Upanishad, did we do Mundaka Upanishad here?
We did one Upanishad, Isha.
Isha.
Okay. So in Mundaka Upanishad, he gives the example of bow arrow. Very famous. Now, the bow is the Shastra, scriptures, Om, on which you keep the arrow. That is you. Which is sharpened by sadhana. Right? And you pull the string backwards, which is detachment, regulation, delayed gratification. Okay? Are you getting it? You pull the string backwards. I am focusing on the goal, you release the arrow, it goes and becomes 1 minute. Are you getting it? So, this is called right living. In the Hindi, in the last reading this book, somewhere is an example. One great archer was there. He met another. He was told by another archer who is greater than him that 100 out of 100 bullseye he hit. Are you? What is it? I hit only 1995. I am considered a great archer, but this was 100 out of 100. So I want to meet him. So he went and met him. He said, Sir, please teach me the secret. I have to also become like you. Sir, I will teach you the secret, but you should not share it with anybody. Then I will teach you. You know what was the secret? You forgot this example?
No, he used to aim first and then draw the circle.
So he said the secret is, the problem with you guys is, you draw the bullseye and then shoot. What I do is, I shoot and then draw the bullseye. Excuse me. We are all not having anything higher goal. Just to become more materialistically well off, have more emotional relationships, should be better in my relationships, should become better in my family, should be good. Nothing beyond that. Whether physically, mentally, intellectually, materially, we don't have something great, right? So all he says is, first fix the goal, then get your personality ready for that, then send it. That's the right way of doing. Right way is what? Fix the goal. Be clear as to what is the goal. Is the goal just to make more money? Is the goal just to have more contacts? So I can be part of many, many clubs. This club, that club, so that I am having more contacts. If this is what you are saying, that's what Bhagavad Gita says, na? Acquisition, enjoyment. Acquisition, enjoyment. Is there another question? She says, no, that's not the right way. Then you are like that archer who shoots and then draws the circle. First thing is, draw the circle. Fix the goal. And then sharpen the arrow, which is you. Right? Your arrow should be placed on the shastra and it should be sharpened by the discipline, sadhana, and it should be withdrawn by the renunciation, the ability, tapas, delayed gratification, you know. And then you release the arrow, it will go into beautiful happiness. Even in petty things you will become very happy. That's what the poem says, no? Parabla, is it coming in this chapter?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere something says it in the book also. See, the pineapple on the bee poem, he says in the end, with hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. One breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom fruit and wisdom leave can gather honey from a weed. So if you live like this, you will gather honey even from a weed. In other words, even in a very ordinary situation, you will be very, very happy. But if you did not gain the spiritual knowledge, if you did not sharpen your arrow with sadhana, if you did not practice detachment and delayed gratification, then even in a beautiful environment, you will be sad. You have everything, but I don't have iPhone 15. Or, I have iPhone, I wanted iPhone 15, I went to the shop, but I wanted the silver color. That they said, no, we stopped producing. You understand? Oh, I couldn't get silver. So why this is happening to me all the time? Last time also when I went to buy that, I couldn't get this. You have so many things for which you can be happy. But one small thing not that you are unhappy. On the other hand, many things are not so great in their life. But they are very cheerful. Where is the cheer coming from? Hear me. They whom truth and wisdom lead can gather any from a weed. So right living is this. When we are living without a goal, without a higher purpose, without developing our individual, it's not the way to go. Continue.
The real source of happiness lies within. Yet people clamor for the outward glamour of the world. Outward splendor and grandeur have no joy inherent in them. The wealth of the world cannot give you happiness. Nations the world over are chasing riches with the hope of finding happiness. And human efforts whirl around acquiring, hoarding, indulging in material wealth. What a colossal blunder.
In other words, what he is saying is everybody is trying to clamor towards the material wealth as if that gives them security. It will not. In fact, if you have not developed your inner personality and you continue depending upon the outside things, you will still not be happy. Continue. And then he gives an example, quotes from Ramtita.
Here is an extract from Swami Ramtita's lecture delivered in the USA on December 13, 1902. There was a time when India possessed probably more riches than all Europe possessed at this time. There was a time when India had more jewels and diamonds, more pearls and rubies than all America has today. India had her day in material prosperity. Nations after nations overran India from time to time. Greece became rich at the cost of India. Persia became rich at the cost of India. Afghanistan became rich at the cost of India. And at this day, England is amassing fortunes at the cost of India. India was once really the land of gold and diamonds. We do not repent at that. We are not sorry at the present backwardness in material prosperity of India. We know that there is a law, a divine law, a law of our own nature, which is ruling affairs, which is bringing about everything. The divine hand which directs and leads our affairs, we know, and knowing that, we do not pine at material backwardness. We understand the law of nature. These things, these material objects of prosperity, all these were tried, experimented, weighed in the balance by Indians and found wanting. America is very young today, so is Europe very young. They are trying these experiments at this time. All these material things are looked upon by Indians as simply a drop of spray, nothing else. They are no factors in your happiness. They cannot make you truly happy. Never, never. Iron and gold are good for buying iron and gold. That is all.
So this is a very famous quotation by Swami Ramtita. Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. That is all. In other words, what is the gist of all that he is saying in this paragraph is, in Sanskrit we use two terms, two words. One is called mukhya, other is called gauna. Mukhya means primary. Gauna means secondary. Right? Now for example, in a relative sense, all your health and everything is secondary compared to your health, no? Imagine, if your health is gone for a talk, what is the use of all your wealth? You have membership in some golf course, you have this thing, flying club, everything, but you are not even able to get out of the bed. What is the use? So there is something primary, there is something secondary. So what is primary? The self. Secondary is body, mind, intellect. Vedanta is not saying, do not take care of the body, mind, intellect. Don't take care of the body, mind, intellect at the cost of self. Are you getting it? So what he is trying to say here is, instead of really developing the personality, the mind, the intellect, the body, with a higher goal, like I explained to you, if you really gain intelligence from the world, to acquire more and more in this world, which is what is something is. What do they do? They use all the scientific advancements that they had. When India did not have it, Indians did not, they were only fighting with swords, right? And spears. These fellows had cannons. From there they can shoot the cannon. They conquer us. Okay. So after conquering, what they do? They want to plant the earth. Right? So that is what he is saying. At the cost of India, at the cost of many countries, Europe has become wealthy. And now slowly America is becoming wealthy. Slowly the wealth will take its turn. It will come to India. He said that. 1902, Swami Ramtita said, it is happening. This is how it is. Slowly you will see, he said, then China will become wealthy, then India will become wealthy one day. Then again it will go. See, Lakshmi doesn't stay in one place. So understand. Wherever there is action, wherever there is Narayana, she will stay. Where there is life, where there is action, there is life. Are you with me? So now slowly it will come back to India. Then it will again go. So you understand that it has a role to play. It is a thing. But it is not everything. Therefore, it beautifully summarizes and says, iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. That is all. Not for happiness. Give me. So you have iron and gold as much as you can work and get and you need. But beyond that, you need to take care of your mind, intellect, go beyond that and reach the self. Don't do it at that cost.
Happiness is not of the same kind as these material objects are. It cannot be purchased. Happiness, true bliss, cannot be purchased by these things. The native home of happiness is your own self, Atma. Discover your real self. All your misery and wretchedness vanish. You gain the essence of happiness. You can never find happiness in the external objects of the world. Do not get duped by the senses. Do not search for happiness in perception, emotion and thought. Instead, find the elysium of happiness within your own self. Leave the quarantine of your physical body. Rise above the superstitious enclave of your mind. Release yourself from the prison house of your intellect. Get liberated in self-consciousness. Happy is he who gains self-consciousness, God-consciousness.
So it is just trying to say that the true happiness, bliss, is within and cannot be purchased by these material things. It is just external glamour. See, wealth or richness is only external. It's not going to alter the state of mind, happy or sad. I've always said this in the past also. If you have money and if you are depressed, you can probably take a flight and go to Alps and be sad. Right? If you did not have money, you won't be able to take the flight and go to Alps and be sad. You'll have to be sad in Delhi itself. And if you are happy, you have the money, you can go to Alps and be happy. If you have money, if you did not have money, you cannot go to Alps and be happy, you'll be happy here itself. Happiness is to do with the mind, the state of mind. Excuse me. That's all it is. Therefore, you should build your personality to that height. The native home of happiness is your own self. Achieve that. Don't rest content. Elysium of happiness is within your own self. Continue.
A human being attains full stature on gaining self-consciousness. Only when rooted in his own self is he fully grown. But if his roots do not dig deep, if they rest in the superficial layers of his personality, his growth is stunted. He will not find true fulfillment in life. Such a person is akin to a bonsai. Bonsai are miniaturized trees. Some of them may be 100 years old and yet remain a foot in height. The reason for remaining dwarfed is that their roots have been sheared periodically, prevented from penetrating deep into the soil. The same relation, the same law holds good for you. If you do not dive deep into yourself, you remain spiritually dwarfed. You do not grow into your full stature.
So, the point is, do you want to remain like a bonsai or what? Or you want to grow like a full tree? What do they do with bonsai? Keep on cutting the roots. And then it just grows to certain height. That's it. And they call it art. I don't know what art it is, but it is art. Okay. So similarly what we are doing is, instead of really going deeper into our own personality, we are all remaining like bonsai. It's a beautiful example he gives. So when you have the potential to grow, become a fully grown tree, why do you want to remain like a bonsai? So to that, what you have to do, first understand that the goal itself, not all this. All these are given again. If you have to come to this land, you need a car. You understand? So you understand, okay, these material things are for my survival, for my transactions. For transactional purpose, I need all this. Okay? But what am I really looking for? Happiness. That these things cannot bring. Be clear. If I go to America, I need dollars. Rupees will not help them. If I come back to India, I need rupees, not dollars. Are you with me? If I go to Arab countries, I need their currency, not Indian rupees. So, in the world, these things help me for transactional purpose. But where am I transacting for happiness? That these cannot bring. That can only be brought by me achieving the self. How can I achieve the self? Through gaining the knowledge. That he talks next.
A human being attains full stature on gaining self. A human being attains full stature on gaining self-consciousness. Only when rooted in his own self are ready full self. Hence the knowledge of the self becomes all important in life. At present you do not know yourself. Your ignorance has to be dispelled. Ignorance manifests in three distinct phases. Lack of information, lack of understanding, lack of experience. In the first phase of ignorance, you do not know the self. You are ignorant of your real self. You have first to be informed about it. To get to know it, you need to listen to spiritual masters or study the scriptures yourself. This is known as Shravan, which means listening. Shravan helps you get over the first phase of ignorance.
See, what he is saying is, if you want to know the self, you need to gain the knowledge because your self is covered by ignorance. Vedanta says every being is essentially divine. But because of ignorance, we do not know our true nature. How do you conquer ignorance? Through knowledge. So we need to gain knowledge. Now, ignorance manifests in three ways. One is lack of information. I have no information about it. Second is lack of understanding. I have got the information but I really have not understood it. Third is, I have understood but I have not got experience of it. Are you with me? This is how three stages in which ignorance manifests. So he says the first stage called lack of information can be overcome through Shravana. That is what you are doing now. Shravana. This is listening or reading. You understand? So then what happens? You gain the information. Now you can't say, I don't even have information. You've got the information. That what? You are not this body. You are not this mind. You are not this intellect. You are Atma. Happiness is not there in the body-mind-intellect contact, but it is within you. All this information you've got. But now, what you haven't got, you have got the next one, which is understanding. For that body of true reflection, that is what it is.
Having been informed of the self, the second phase of ignorance surfaces. It is the lack of understanding. You have heard about the self. You cannot say you do not know it. But then, you may not understand it. This phase of ignorance cannot be removed by listening or studying anymore. The knowledge taken in can be understood, absorbed only through your own independent reflection. The process of reflecting, contemplating upon the knowledge received is manana. Manan means reflection.
So you got to sit at home in a quiet place, early hours of the day, sit and reflect over what you are studying. Like I explained to you, why does he say there is no happiness in the contact world? And why does he say nectar in the beginning, poison in the end? You start thinking, understanding, and then questioning. Then you compare it and contrast with your experience in the past and somebody else's experience. Then you see, oh, okay, this is why they are saying. So now through reflection you have understood it. And even though you understood it, old Adatana. You understood. Teacher, right? But Adat kya hai? Body goes there only. Like for example, some people who have been working for a particular company for 20-30 years and then they switched over to some other company. So, let's say the first company for which they were working 20 years and they had to take left turn and priority they were taking left turn. But the new company they have to take right turn. Because of other habits they take left turn. This is the thing. We understand, but yet I am not following some Jesus and I can't. Why? How refinement say it? How refinement? Say, old habit is not going. So he says, independent reflection alone is not enough. You need to do nididhyasana. Nididhyasana means, like pickle. What do you do with pickle? You soak it, na? You soak it in it. You continue like this. Two paragraphs are there.
With independent reflection, you may understand the self, but the third and last phase of ignorance lingers, the lack of experience of yourself. The ultimate experience, realization of self, is gained through meditation. Nididhyasana. You must maintain a constant awareness of the self. The fixation of thought upon the self to the exclusion of all other thought is meditation. With profound, sustained meditation, you gain the experience of yourself. You become the self. You attain the everlasting bliss of self. The craze of the world over is meditation. People do not want to study or listen to lectures, much less wish to reflect or contemplate. They are averse to any form of effort, exertion. They want an easy way to divinity and look for shortcuts to godhood. This is a grave mistake. Do not fall a prey to it. You must methodically follow the procedure of Shravan, Manan and Nididhyasan to get rid of your ignorance. You would then gain spiritual enlightenment, the ultimate goal of life.
So the Nididhyasana is what? Staying in it till you transform yourself. See, that is why one set of refinement you do before to gain the knowledge. Once you've got the information and reflection, you still continue being in that because the senses are too powerful. You understand? You get into the world, can completely subsume. So what do you do? Some form or the other you want to remain in it. That is one of the reasons why we all take up this, because the nature is also there, so we say, okay, we will do teaching. So teaching means what? We will stay in that, no? It's a great opportunity to stay in it. And not only teaching in some form or the other, we serve the society. So you constantly with such people who are also interested in these things. So Nididhyasana is like soaking the pickle for months. You understand? So like that you've got to soak yourself. You've got to bring out what you studied. Again, think about it. 24/7, 365 days, as much as possible. Same thing, but keep on reading it, think about it. Keep on reading it, think about it. Till you get soaked in it. In between, I went for a Sanskrit course. It was about 14 days course, in a very simple living place. Got to go, as soon as I went there, they took away my car key and mobile phone. And we were in a temple, sleeping on the floor every night. Morning 5 o'clock to night 9 o'clock the schedule was. There, they will only talk in Sanskrit. You have to talk in Sanskrit if you want something. Initially when I went, sheer survival, right? So what do you do? You observe what the person is. And then you repeat. That's what children learn, right? What they see is, if you learn grammar and learn language, you will not learn. Children didn't learn grammar and then learn mother tongue. So they say, you start learning like that. So, you know, we started living like that for 14 days. Only Sanskrit. Morning till night, nothing else. No English, nothing. Then, there I said, I'm not going to share another little, let it be, you know, that is enough. I left it. So 14 days, that's so much of beer. So first, instead of going home, I just let me go to the barber shop. So I went there, the salon. He asked me something, I have to say nahi. But nahi is not coming. No, no is coming. Yeah? I used to say something, what I think, nahi is not coming. No, no, nahi. Then I should tell you, I have nahi after 5 minutes. Why I am saying this, this is called suri. This is just. You understand? God to bring down, it's like what you have recorded, you are playing it again. What you recorded, you are playing it again. What you recorded, you play it again. When you do that, you get established. Otherwise, people just want to go and do meditation, it will not help you. Do Shravana, Manana, Nidhityasana. Then you will gain knowledge, you will get rid of the ignorance and realize the self.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Prakrute Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.